weekend, we have reflected on who God is, who we are to Him, and who He is to us. We've addressed life in our breakout sessions, applying the Word of God to our everyday living, our decision-making, and our relationships. We know that we all have spiritual gifts and that the Holy Spirit is the one who determines them. And we've discovered that Christ is the living water and identified our wells, our broken cisterns, and hopefully given them all to the Lord. We're learning that we can be fully satisfied with God's goodness. So this is our last session, and what I'm addressing this time is being fully known by God. I found this poster at, obviously, the Christian bookstore, and I want to read it to you because it reminds me of me. Is that God still loves us. There's this lead singer in the 10th Avenue North band, and at one of his concerts he said, "We all have this sneaking suspicion that being loved means being fully known." And I went, "Oh man, can you say that again?" Okay. We have this sneaking suspicion that being loved means being fully known. You know how when you get closer and closer to someone, you start revealing more and more of yourself? That's how it is. Well, that's what happened. Remember with the Samaritan woman? She met Christ. She came to know Him as Messiah. She spent a little time with Him, and she began to trust Him and to listen to Him. And she allowed His truth to shine into her heart and into her life. And she realized He knew everything about her, and He still loved her. And then His living water came in, and He washed away her shame and her regrets. And then she was transformed. And she left her jar of worldly fixes behind, and she replaced it with her belief in Jesus Christ. And as a result of her transformation, the living water began flowing through her, and she started sharing this truth about Christ. "Come and see this guy who knew everything about me and loves me." And all these Samaritans got saved. Miraculous. Her story is a clear illustration of being loved, and that means being fully known. And in being fully known, she found freedom. It's the same for us. But I wonder, does the thought of being fully known by God make you comfortable or uncomfortable? Is it scary? Or is it that thing that you've always longed for? It's kind of a mixed bag sometimes. I want to take a look at part of Abram's story where we see how God deals with fully knowing Abram. And that's in Genesis 17, 1 through 3. Boy, I have a froggy. I need him to hop. So in Genesis 17, 1 through 3, it says, "When Abram was 99 years old," that's about my age, "he appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless.'" The word "before" in the scripture is equivalent to the word "with" and can be read, "I am God Almighty, walk with me and be blameless." And then Abram fell on his face before the Lord because he knew he was in the presence of holiness. Now this is an interesting scripture because here's the reality, our poster, all those things, right? That's who we are. And yet we see God saying to Abram and believers, "Be blameless." So we either throw in the towel and say, forget that, it's impossible, or we figure this out. So let's look at how God handles this with Abram being fully known and dealing with all holiness and poster issues. It had been 13 years since Sarah and Abram took it upon themselves to help God. They helped him fulfill his promise to give Abram the offspring, and he was going to have all the descendants and the nation that God had promised him. So they were helping him out, and they had Abram sleep with Hagar, the maidservant, and there was a child conceived in that union, and it was Ishmael. And now Ishmael is 13 years old, and God's promise of giving Abram an heir, in fact, an entire nation of descendants, had not yet been fulfilled. Now think about Abram's situation right now. How is Abram probably feeling 13 years down the line? I know it says in the word that he was counted righteous because he believed in God, but he was a man. He lived on this earth, and what do you think he was thinking for 13 years? I'm only getting older, Lord. Uh-oh, did I blow it so badly that the promise is gone? I'm sure he was just riddled with doubts some days. So, 13 years after their mess up, God appears to Abram to tend to the relationship and follow through with his promise to Abram. And I love how God is, because what he does is, do you think he was happy about what Abram and Sarah decided to do? No, obviously. Were there consequences to what they did? Absolutely. A very complicated blended family experience. Did God give up on Abram? No. God is faithful even when we are not. The first words out of God's mouth when he appears to Abram are, I am God Almighty. Now, in the Hebrew, this name is El Shaddai. You know that Amy Grant song, if you haven't seen this in the word, El Shaddai. We will praise and lift you high. Whenever we see God Almighty, I had to sing that a little bit. whenever we see God Almighty in the Old Testament, it is El Shaddai. That's the name that we're looking at. And this is the first time God introduces himself as El Shaddai to Abram personally. And in verse 3, we see that Abram responds with falling on his face before the Lord. And this is his act of submission or honor to God. Now, El in El Shaddai means power. And Shaddai means the all-sufficient one. The power not of violence, but the power of all bountifulness. Isn't that beautiful? And that he is the pourer forth. That's what that means. The one who pours forth and gives life. God pours himself out for his own. God gives his life blood, his son. God pours forth his spirit and says, come unto me, to each one of us. He just says, open your mouth wide and I'll give you words. Open your heart and I'll give you love. Open your soul and I'll give you my spirit. Open your life and I'll give you true living. He's a giver. He just wants to pour forth. He gives himself and his very nature to those who will receive him. That's our part. So that his perfect may be accomplished in each one of us. So his perfect covers the poster issues. And when God looks at us, he sees Jesus Christ's perfect and not our poster issues. And those poster issues get taken away. Now, the sacrifice of Christ proves how God is our El Shaddai and how he has given himself to us. When we take communion this morning, I want us to really be thinking about our El Shaddai and what he gave to us, his lifeblood. That we can acknowledge his giving to us, his pouring forth for us and into us. It is only by this connectedness, by receiving his indwelling, and his pouring forth of himself and his nature, that his will can be done in our lives, that we can become who we were meant to be when we were knit together in our mother's wombs. His perfect can erase and replace our imperfect. His perfect can erase and replace our imperfect. It's never too late, this side of heaven. Along with that comes the self-awareness of the poster issues. Who we are, poster, and who God is, holy. Holy. Now, how can we be one with God and so connected when we're poster-ish and he's holy? How does that work? Well, let's take a look at how it worked with Abram. So, we see that God's holy, and Abram responds, and he falls on his face because he's saying flat out, I get it, God. I need you. Forgive me. Do a holy work in me. Change me. Change my life. That's what Abram's doing and falling on his face. If anyone needed to know God as El Shaddai, it was Abram in that moment. He had messed his life up, and he was waiting for God's promise of offspring to happen, and he was growing older day by day and waiting and wondering, have I blown it forever? And then this is such a testimony of God's mercy and grace, because when God shows up and says, you know, here I am, I'm El Shaddai, it's kind of like he's saying, well, that didn't turn out too good, did it, Abram? No, not too good. And it was Abram's epic poster moment with God, right? And so God then says, well, in saying that he's God Almighty, when he shows up, he's saying, well, I am the all-sufficient one. I am powerful. I am enough. I will make it so. And God proves he is good for his promise to Abraham. And he shows Abram that he is in need, the reality of his poster issues, and he shows him that he needs to receive from God because nothing in Abram was going to meet the mark. God makes it clear that if Abram was to receive God's promise and covenant benefits, he must be faithful back to God. God is loyal to him. In a relationship, you're loyal back. It's relationship. As God is faithful, he wants us to be faithful, to love him back. So God finishes his statement with, walk with me and be blameless. Walk with me. Blameless in this scripture means entire integrity, truth, without spot or blemish, complete, full, upright, and whole. So God is saying, walk with me. Let me pour forth into you, and you will be whole in my sufficiency. My all-sufficiency in you will make you blameless, whole and complete. I will cleanse you. I will keep you. I, God, am fully able to do this. And that is how all of us reconcile our poster issues with God Almighty, who requires blamelessness from us. We understand our God to be our El Shaddai, the pour forth, who pours his life, his holiness into us, pushing out, cleansing out the poster issues, because we'll never meet the mark. We can try and be goody two-shoes girls, but it's not enough. When I didn't have what it took to stay in my marriage, when I had divorce on my heart, he poured forth into me. He made me whole and complete, and I was able to walk with him through it. When I wanted so much to have family and my babies were miscarrying, he was all sufficient to me. He held me together. And when I wanted to run and not take on women's ministry years ago because I didn't trust women or really even like them, he was sufficient to me, and his heart and nature have grown in me. And I really love you guys now. And when I cry over my children and I pour out my doubts about my mothering skills, he is sufficient for me. And when I had nothing, and when I have nothing beautiful or lovely to bring to him, God says, I still love you, and he makes beautiful in me. It's important that we let him do this, because otherwise we're stuck. We're stuck with poster issues, and we're stuck like stagnant ponds, because we take that initial drink of Jesus, we get saved, and then I don't know what happens. We play Christian? I'm not sure what. But I want to give you this picture and talk about this for a minute. I mentioned my little dog because we talked about the squirrel. Well, I like to take my little dachshund to the Elk Grove Pond. because he loves to run around there, around the pond, and we like to watch the geese and the ducks swim. Actually, he likes to run after them. But what makes me sad when I go there, after we run on the island and stuff, is that around the edges of this pond, it's like, it looks like a beautiful pond with a little island and the grass all around, but then you look at the edges of the pond and it's got this buildup, like this muck and this foamy, dirty, grimy, messy stuff around the edges. And it so bothers me, because you want to have this natural moment with your, you know, your dog and your child. But anyway, it floats around the edges of the pond. And then to make it worse, the park system injects this bluish-green dye into the water to try and make it, you know, cover it up. It's disgusting. So obviously I don't let my dog drink that water. So it's a stagnant pond, because all they have is this little pipe on the one end of the pond, and it kind of bubbles a little bit of refreshed water in. You're like, well, that's really not going to do the job. So I want you to give that picture of that mucky pond in your brain. Aren't you glad I did that for you? And this is what happens to us when we don't let God pour forth his sufficiency into us and through us. If we don't let ourselves be fully known by him, then we can't let him pour through and get rid of all those things he fully knows. If we keep trying to hide those things, like, you know, it's, you probably don't want to see this. He can't wash through you and get rid of it for you. We need to allow him to see all of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So our propensity, of course, is to cover those things, right? Thinking, oh, you know, I'll just shove it under the rug. I can do better tomorrow. I'm just, you know, I didn't have enough coffee today. Or we just really don't want to deal with it with Almighty God because we're ashamed, or we're comfortable where we're at. Or maybe we realize it's going to take some work, because real relationships take work. Love relationships, good ones, take work. Anything good takes a lot of work, I've noticed. So, if we don't deal with God and let him pour through us, we get mucky buildup inside of our hearts. And it's as disgusting as that pond. And what we need to do, and I had a visual aid in the fridge that I forgot that I got it. And Michelle's going to get it because she was there with me. What I wanted to do is have a couple leaders come up and do this visual for me, but they wouldn't, and I can't figure out why that is. But what I really think we need to do is get nakey before God. Yeah. And so because my leaders wouldn't be a visual aid for me, I just got this. So remember this. You need to get naked before God. You cannot try and cover up things. You have to let him see you clearly. We have to be fully known. And you know what getting naked is in Christianese? It's confession. We don't hear that enough these days, do we? It's confession. And confession to him. Confession to one another is only by guidance of the Holy Spirit. Confession to our high priest all the time, every day, pretty much every minute for me. It's important. Confession is getting real with God. Holding nothing back, hiding nothing. Hiding nothing. Confession is when we access Christ, when we drink, when we hydrate, when we wash, when we cleanse, when we swim in the living water of Jesus Christ. I mean, full on, whoo, cannonball, right in there. Because we need it so desperately. Because if we don't, girls, the muck builds up. And then it's just like that poisonous apple again. We get deadened to the good stuff. And then one day we wake up and we go, how the heck did I get out here? What have I been doing? I don't even like myself. We don't want to get there. We want to be fully vulnerable to our God, holding back nothing. Now, confession in the Old Testament has the character, I love this, of thanksgiving, joyful praise, and reverent submission to God. Because remember the Israelites? They were confessing. But because they were so thankful all the time, because God kept taking them back. Oh, we did it again, God. I love you. Come on, let's go again. And that's how he is with us. So confession is thanksgiving and joyful praise, too. And we don't think of that. We just think, oh, geez, confession. But it's a beautiful thing. And then the New Testament, the Greek word for confess, primarily in reference to faith in Christ. You're like, I don't get how that connects. But get this. Faith is consistent reliance on Christ for deliverance. Well, that makes sense. I got all my poster issues. I'm obviously reliant on Christ for deliverance from that. So confession is super important. And with confession, then not only are we free of all the stuff we don't really like or pulls on us all the time, we are free of doubt. Isn't that weird how doubt ends up connected to muck? But it's so true. When we let all that buildup get into us, suddenly we're doubting God. But really, it's because it's us. Can God really love this? Can God really love my muck and me? Well, no, he hates your muck. Let him have it, and then he can really love you up. So it's important that we allow God in to cleanse us so that those doubts, the enemy can't keep bringing up those doubts. It is also, in confession, a decision to pledge oneself in loyalty to Jesus Christ as Lord in response to the work of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? Pledge oneself. That's commitment, girls. It's a beautiful commitment. And it's so worth it. Remember when Abram fell on his face? He was saying, I'm yours, God. It is a beautiful thing to belong to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. I believe that too. To just say, I need you. I so need you. I just think we should all pledge ourselves today while we're taking that communion. And we talked Friday night about how loyal God is to us. And he wants loyalty back, because that's what relationship is. We sang the divine romance this morning. That's divine romance. John 7:37 says, Jesus said this, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from their heart. That's so we don't get muck in our hearts. The river will flow through like a rushing river. That's what we want. We don't want trickles. We want a rushing river through our hearts so that we're continually refreshed. And we want that time in the Word so we're continually revived with truth. We're cleansed. We have those aha moments of who God is. And just that breath of life when you spend that time with God. And all the circumstance that seems to be overwhelming you and looks so big kind of dissipates. Because when the truth comes in, it takes the crazies away. Jeremiah 29:12-14 says, for I know, you know this one, girls. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope. Then you will come up. Yes. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, that means. And find me when you search for me with all your heart. Remember Mary talking about that undivided heart? God wants us to search for him with all our hearts. And he says, I will be found by you. I will be found by you. It's not the big chase. God is just waiting for it. And I will release you from captivity. And I believe that's my poster issues. This is a beautiful scripture, a picture of our devotion to God, seeking with our whole hearts. And the word seek in this scripture means crave. Isn't that neat? I will crave you, God. Because I need you. Being fully known means being close to God. It is taking the time to sit down and be with God long enough for him to speak to you, long enough for him to shine his light in all those guarded places in our hearts. It means sitting quietly and not talking sometimes, just being, just drinking in who he is, trusting him with everything inside our minds. Here it is. I can't even explain it, God. Here it is. Everything in our hearts. Here it is. I'm broken. I don't even know. And here it is, my circumstance. It's overwhelming. Here. And he's, thank you. I'll take that. I'm all sufficient. It's praying, here it is, God, good, bad, and ugly. Can you help me? And he looks on our mess, and he smiles, and he says, he's just happy you're spending time with them. He says, I can take care of that. My son died for that. I'm all sufficient. Then we need to continue to spend that time with them because he is a gentleman and he gently takes us according to our pace because he understands. And because he knows us so well, and he slowly and carefully begins to remove the band-aids that we've put over our hurts and our wounds. And he washes and cleanses deeply those wounds and those areas of our hearts that so desperately need his love. And he identifies those things that need to be removed that we don't even see yet. Because he's holier than us. And he says, let's clean this out. This sin over here, it's not good for you. So that we can more than live. We can walk with an almighty God. And then we're washed. And all the shame, the regrets, the discouragements, and the mistakes get cleaned away. Now, if we do that, if we allow that living water to function as Jesus intended, then we will not be stagnant ponds. And trust me, there is nothing better than my time with God in his word, inviting him in to shine his truth in my dark heart, to free me from my crazy thinking and my old patterns and my poor choices and my mistakes and my sins, and keeping me from the emptiness that the world offers me. And I need that every day, more than once. And if I keep on spending that time with him, I will live fulfilled. And I'm not meaning just merely living. I'm meaning living loved, walking with my God. I believe there is a huge difference between merely living and truly walking with God. And God gives us the choice every day because he loves us. Okay, you don't want to spend time with me. But he would much rather that we did. And here's my concern. That many a Christian meets Christ and then just goes on, not walking with God and handling life in our own strength and in our own wisdom. And then we think we're doing fine, at least for a while, but we can only live so long without water, and then we are completely dehydrated and parched. It looks like anxiety and discouragement and depression and fear and shame, and the beat goes on. Now, those things will hit us even when we're walking with God, but we've got the Holy Spirit and God to help us through it. We go out there without him, it'll crush us. It'll crush us, because what does the enemy want to do? That's right. Maybe we are just sipping at the living water, playing church, cracking our Bible now and then. Oh, I'll just have a spot of living water. Not too much for me. What are we thinking? We need to just full on drink, be sold out, be devoted to Christ. We all know that living life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And when you need to hydrate for a marathon and you don't do it, you get cramps, you're lightheaded, you start retching, you can pass out, and worse. And I believe that's how it is in life. I remember getting really lightheaded. I think I should have drank a little more. We may get that nagging feeling once in a while, oh gosh, I should be spending more time with Jesus, but we continue to live our lives and maybe ask him to come along and bless our plans and ideas. You know what that's like? That's like putting chocolate syrup on ice cream. It's just the topping. Jesus, could you just be the topping on my life? Don't be my life, because I got this handled. But you can be the topping. That's not going to fly with God. Can you just let me live my life and bless me? And I'll just live in, on my poster issues. I'll just live there. Why would we choose that? But we do sometimes. That's crazy thinking. Walking with God is more than that. And then there's the other scenario where we're running through life, and all of a sudden we see that we're careening into a crisis. So we're going, trying to gulp up the holy water just in time to deal with the careening crisis, right? Too late, too little, girls. We've done it, right? So, we know what we need to do. So God does actually call us to a blameless life, but you don't have to throw in the towel because it's not in your strength. It's in His all-sufficiency. It is absolutely possible in Him, and it's an ongoing process. I want you to see my little cans here. This is how it's accomplished. Life is messy and it's complicated, and universally people stumble and fall and they make mistakes and they blow it and we disappoint them and they disappoint us and we get hurt and they get hurt, and that's just what life kind of looks like in the human beings. But we can deal with it in a really great way, and Jesus has shown us how, and that is to be true. We deal with it with ourselves before God and with each other authentically. Be authentic in His grace. We're going to be real, because that's what Jesus is. He's just real. He's truth. In the Word, it says, John 14:20 says, you will realize, Jesus is saying this, that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And if you picture yourself like this, it may help. Here's the Father, right? And Jesus is in the Father, and you and I are in Jesus. And we get tucked right down inside there. That's the safety zone, girls. That's the safety zone. Keep ourselves in that safe place, nestled inside there. And really, any insidious form of sin would be pretty hard pressed to get through that protection. But what happens if we play around and we get outside of the safe place, outside of that shell of protection? What if we forget who we are? And who loves us? And whose we are, who we belong to. What if we allow ourselves to be tossed around carelessly and our lives become scattered and fragmented? Like I said before, the sight of heaven, it's never too late. You confess and you go into power wash. Power wash in that spiritual living water. Like the car wash on high. That's what we need in times like that. Like you've careened out there. You're like, oh my gosh, who am I? You jump back into this nestled, safe place, get the power wash on the way in, and you're good to go. It's never too late. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you and say, oh well, it's a done deal. So, continually confess and be cleansed. Stay close to your Father's heart. Nestle in and be loved. And don't go sniffing out more wells. Be fully known and live loved every day. Let's pray. Father God, I love your word. It brings so much peace and sense to our living. I love how you are so faithful to us, and you take us over and over again and clean us up. You love us even with our poster issues, and you're fully able to cleanse us of our poster issues. And God, I just pray that each woman here would dive in, would do spiritual skinny dipping with you every day, God, because she trusts you that much. Build the trust with each of these women, God, that they would stay close and nestled close to your heart and not allow themselves to go out there and believe any lies or dig any new wells, God. That we would devote ourselves to you, that we would have a real love relationship with you and allow ourselves to completely trust you and trust that you have your all-time best for each one of us, that your life for us rocks compared to what we would choose. We love you and adore you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.